Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. Praise be to God. Beautiful day outside, and God has given us a sunshine weekend back to springs. Please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could he not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that he enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doeth betray me. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I want to thank you for this blessed opportunity to, Lord, for ministering this word to my heart. And Father, and also share this word with brothers and sisters this morning. Father, anoint this servant, O Father, unworthy servant, and help me that I may expound this word and encourage each other, Lord, today, and refresh us through your word, and strengthen us that we may watch and wait eagerly for the coming, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage, this time, this hour, 2,000 years ago on that night, which was a special night for each one of us, a special day for each one of us, because without that day, we wouldn't be here and we cannot be rejoicing. But for the Lord, who was a king, who created heavens and earth, that was the darkest moment. The most darkest moment you can ever think of. No one can take this cup. And because the sins of the world, the sorrows of the world, was upon him. Many prophets had told. One of the prophets clearly shared Isaiah was, he was a man of sorrows. And he had taken all the griefs. And we see that, I'm exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Normally when you know you're dying the next day, your journey is finished. As a man, you would like to spend time with your family. You like to spend time with your whom you love, isn't it? And that's, and share a few words. And where is the Lord spending his time? He's spending his time, firstly, with his disciples till the end. He loved them till the end. And he's spending time with the Lord. He's spending time with the Lord because he was like a man, like me and you. He has to prepare his heart for this journey, because it's a very tough journey. He knows everything, how he's going to be tortured, how he's going to be crucified. If he didn't know, then it would have been a bit more help, but he knew everything because he's God. And he's praying for him to strengthen. But the Lord is telling to, he took three of his disciples. He took all the disciples, and he took John, Peter, and James, a bit closer to him. And the Luke's gospel says, about a stone's throwing away, Jesus went. So Jesus was very close, but Jesus wanted to spend time alone with the Lord. And one thing Jesus asked is, tonight, stay with me. Tonight, watch with me. And they could not do it because they were so tired. They were fallen asleep. They saw three times Jesus came, incidentally, isn't it? This was three watch. The first watch, he woke them up. And he clearly said, it was about an hour, I would think, because he said, Peter, couldn't you wait for me an hour? And he woke them up and said, watch and pray. Because he wanted them also to pray, because the very next day, even Peter needed his strength. Very next day, all the disciples needed their strength, because all these days Jesus was with them. They saw the miracles, but very next day their faith will be tested. And in the hour of darkness, in the hour of temptation, the message of God, even today, is stay with me and watch with me. But Peter, the next two times when the disciples were sleeping, I like the way the last words Jesus spoke. He knew this hour was the last moment with them. Verse 46 said, when Jesus, verse 45 and 46 says, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour has come. And the last word is, rise, let us keep going. Lord had strengthened himself. The angels had ministered to the Lord, it says in the other scripture. And the Lord said, rise, let us keep going. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage, we know it is a dark time. But 2,000 years as we speak, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Behold, I come quickly. Disciples asked, tell us what would be the time like be when you come back. We can read in Matthew's Gospel 24 in detail. But Jesus clearly gave many things. We do not know when the Lord is coming, but Lord clearly said, when these things happen, the Lord will come. He said, there'll be many wars, famines, pestilence. That will be just the beginning. He said, there'll be people will say, I am Jesus. I am Christ. There'll be many false prophets. And be aware, when the armies are surrounded Israel, that is the closest moment that the Lord is coming. We know from the scripture, Lord is not going to come like where Jesus is saying. If you look at the Google and website, there are many people now, they're saying they're Jesus. If you didn't know, for example, you know, there are many people say, I'm Christ. And there's already things are happening. And not only that, we are in the darkest moment. As we know, the time of a time, as so many things have grown, the technology, the TV, the things all have been used for the wrong reasons. And we are in the darkest time. With the hour of if you go out in the world, there's so much of things, ugly things not to see. I say, so the Lord has ministering to my heart is to watch and stay with him. That was the message for disciples. In the hour of darkness, in the hour of temptation, the Lord wants us to stay with him and watch with him. Watching, as he say, watch with me. Watching is, at times, is very difficult. It was difficult for these disciples. If you just picturize the borders of this country, the Australian borders, if people don't watch, we are not safe. Thank God for all those people who are serving the nation. Imagine a soldier, if you're a soldier, and you're in the front border, in front of the war zone. And if you're not a good soldier, if you're not sleeping and the enemy is coming, you need patience. You need that love for the country to serve. And watching needs patience. Here, watching is a preparation of heart. That heart which the Lord has prepared us to be waiting for the Lord. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 35. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded and about, and your light's burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when he thinketh not. Let your lamps be girded, and your light shining. And it said, you yourself like man that wait for their Lord. Many of us are fathers here, and you both will be having children soon. When I come from work, one thing I first notice is my children running and opening the door and waiting. And praise God for that. That's a lovely moment of our working life. And that that waiting. Immediately, you don't have to knock 10 times. And that's the heart the Lord wants us to be on. That's only possible when Jesus is our first love. The children love the Father, and loved ones. You know, when I was a kid, I used to wait for my uncle, auntie used to come all the way from Bangalore, and I used to wait for them even in the early morning. I never used to get up early, but because they were going to buy me gifts, they're going to buy me presents, and I used to wait. And the Lord may come. There was a second watch and the third watch. Incidentally, the scripture we read, there were three watches, isn't it? Jesus came three times to the disciples. And the second watch here, it's known to be 9 p.m. The third watch, which is later, is 12 p.m. The more late, we may need more patience and more grace. Jesus was, when we read this scripture portion, just before, it is in a context. There was one of brother in verse 13 we read. We won't read the whole passage, but just a summary. There was one of a man of their own companion asked Jesus that, Jesus, can you tell my brother to share an inheritance with me? And Jesus said, who made you a judge? Who made you one of me? I'll divide you. And Jesus rebuked him for coveting. He said in verse 15 of chapter 12, Luke 12:15, and he said to them, take heed and be aware of the covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I look back my early life before I knew Christ. My life, I used to talk much about people about how to do business, how to do things, what will I end up with, how many properties will I do. Like, we know what it means. The life is not about possessing things. He straight away said it, parable. There was a rich man who had many things, so much of things, that he was again wanted to store all the things. He wanted to build a barns and store all the blessings he had. And Jesus said in verse 20, but God said to them, thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I mean, if anything, you may have so many things, millions of things. But if I don't have Christ today, everything is, all these treasures will go in vain. But it's only the hope in Jesus Christ, the eternal, which will never fade. Our inheritance in Christ, one inheritance which will never fade. Everything else will fade. And he straight away told to his disciples that never think of tomorrow, what you eat, what you drink. Have the attitude, like, look at the birds. Do they worry about tomorrow? But still the Lord is faithful to feed them. They don't even store the barns. They don't do anything. And he tells a beautiful story about the lilies. If you look at the lilies, one of the beautiful flowers, out of a grass, God made those beautiful lilies of that glory. Solomon, in his all his richness, all that glory even cannot be compared to that grass which made of a little flower. Then Jesus said in 28, if God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into heaven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little faith? Verse 29, and seek not what he shall eat or what he shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things to the nation of the world seek after your Father knoweth that he have need of this. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34 said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So brothers and sisters, the Lord was questioning my heart. Where is my heart today? Is my heart about when I'm going to be promoted, when I'm going to have a next home, when I'm going to have, you know, what I'm going to buy children? No. The Lord, our heart, we are in this world for a short period, but we need to realize we are not of this world. A brother was ministering a few months ago. We are pilgrims. This 70 or 80 years will go, you know. You can ask anyone who's old, he say it went quick and it's finished. God has given us a heavenly vision and our hearts should be looking to heaven. When I came to Australia, most of us have the experience other than Uncle Auntie getting a migration and coming here. How do we prepare ourselves? I even didn't know how to use a spoon and fork, you know. I know I was told you have to learn to use the left hand and right hand and so many things. Our heart should be getting ready with the things of God, heavenly things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So verse 35 said, let your lines be girded about and your lights burning. If you imagine a dress with a tunic, a garment, if you don't tie a belt across the waist, you cannot work. If you're at home, you don't normally have a belt as a man. But if you're going to work, you'll be preparing. The Lord is saying, a heart which is prepared to meet the Lord. Heart is prepared, waiting upon the Lord. Anytime the Lord is coming, rejoicing for that day. Not be ashamed of that day. Lord said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, sorry, just stay with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 18. Luke's Gospel chapter 18. We know a story of a widow which goes to an unjust judge, a parable. I always thought that prayer was, we used to minister for not ceasing in prayer and praying until the end. But I was surprised to see the Lord was ministering of his coming. And he questions one thing in verse 8. We all know the story. The widow went for an unjust judge who did not fear God, praying for her adversary. Because she came again and again bothering her, the king wanted to resolve her request. And the verse 8 says of the same chapter, Luke 18:18, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord was suddenly questioning, when he comes back, shall he find faith on the earth? Blessed, we read in the scripture, blessed is the soul which watcheth. Even the second watch and the third watch, the soul which watcheth. Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, verse 46 says, I read from verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Verse 46. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Here a master gave a home, a good servant, and gave him to feed his servants. But blessed is the servant who kept on doing till the end. We know the story of the talents, that the Lord blessed and said, good and faithful servant who used all his talents. As we go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 35, 12:35, let your lines be girded and your lights burning. One of the things the Lord wants us is our lights burning continually. Our lights which He has given us from the day we have knew the Lord personally, this was a taste of God from heavenly taste and knowing His righteousness, His peace. The first day when I remember, many of you know how you tasted the Lord. And one of the things I was blessed was the first time I wanted to wake up that morning and live for Christ. You know, I never had the desire to, I really did not enjoy the life, though I was enjoying in my flesh, but the spiritual joy of living even in this life. But that we have an enemy who wants to take that light from us. Day after day, time after time, one of the jobs he wants to do is he wants to take the joy from me. The Lord says, let your lights be burning and be ready for His coming. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We know this, one of the parable of wise and foolish virgins. I shall read it for you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet their bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But when wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The parable is very clear. One thing is, all the 10 virgins had light at some point. They all knew the way that bridegroom is coming. They all had light. In order for a lamp to shine the light, what is required? Oil. In order for me to shine, continue to shine, I can only shine in His walk, in His fellowship with Jesus Christ. As 1 John we read, if we are in the light, we walk in the light, and we have fellowship with the Lord, and we have fellowship one another. But when I turn my eyes in my unbelief or disobedience, I lose that precious fellowship. But praise God, God has, even the same chapter said, 1:9, come back to me. He's faithful and just to forgive my sins. But here, one thing we note, we won't be going very detailed into this, but the thought is that when the bridegroom tarried, what was this watch in this parable? When did the Lord come in this watch? It said it was midnight. It was a third watch kind of thing, wasn't it? So they lost patience. They slumbered and slept. They slumbered and slept spiritually. Their heart could have been gone away because of the temptations, desire of the world. They could not, unbelief or disobedience, they drifted away. The Lord says, watch therefore. Watch for the hour, we do not know. I come like a thief. But watch, blessed is every soul which watcheth. Hebrews says like this for a soul which drifted away. Hebrews chapter 2. The writer of Hebrew, the word of God, reminds us this salvation is so great. Be serious of this salvation. Don't neglect thy great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received for a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The first verse said, lest that any time we should let them slip. If you're going on the way to Darling Harbour from Parramatta, catching a ferry, you see lots of ferries and lots of boats. It's called, I know how you park your cars and things. You see lots of boats kept in, once they call, the boats are moored, a mooring place, where they have to tie a rope to a dock or put an anchor. If they don't put if it's loosened to the dock, the ship will drift away, will slip in the wind. And I think Sarah was giving a wonderful thought this morning that on this journey, the Lord has given us a destination to go. But sometimes to get an ice cream or get a few things, it's so easy to drift away. It's so easy to give up. And the Lord is saying, be careful, take heed, be careful. One of the verses says, this salvation, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, but sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The hope we have, the hope which has been revealed by Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit, is a hope which is an anchor to my soul. So never ever give up that hope and take hold of it and hold fast. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider apostle and high priest of our profession Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. Sorry, I wanted to start from verse 6 of the same chapter. 3 and verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will enter, hear his voice, harden not your hearts, and in provocation. The word of God through Hebrews reminds us, briefly, there was once in this time, in the time of Moses, gospel was preached that there is a rest for the people of Israel, a physical rest. It was 11 days journey from Egypt to Canaan, which we know now, but it took 40 years. But there the promise was given to them. But everyone failed over 20 years of age. And we have those special names in our gathering. Joshua and Caleb were the only two people who made to the resting place of Canaan, which the Lord had promised. And all the other people, we know they fell in wilderness. Why? And the writer says, is why is because of unbelief, because of disobedience, because of the unbelief and disobedience. And it also says, they did not take this faith to their hearts. Chapter 4 says why. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believed do enter rest. So brothers and sisters, this was a warning message from the Lord that take heed, be steadfast. How great is this salvation? Be serious about this calling. The Lord has done, he has finished his work, and we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. As Lord created heavens and earth in 6 days, was the Lord tired from the 7 day he has to rest? He rested in the finished work of the beauty he had created and enjoyed the rest. Even today where we have a rest, because his yoke is light. And the Lord is calling us to have finished our work and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And be serious about this calling. And the Lord was ministering to my heart that my visions, our goals, it has to be heavenly vision. Jesus first. And that's why he just told to the church, am I your first love? Is Jesus the first love? And in this journey, the Lord has given us weapons to be overcomers. Those five foolish women, five foolish virgins, they did not have oil with them because they could not overcome without the Spirit of God. We can only be overcomers by faith, by the strength of God. Jesus said, I'll send you a comforter. When I go, I'll send you a comforter, a helper to help you. And we know that he has been a great help in my life and in your life. Without him, I could not have said no to many things. Without him, even today, I couldn't battle. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in his high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Lord reminds us, is our war between nuclear weapons? We have a war with Syria. No, our battle is with principalities of powers of darkness. We know what that means. We have battles within myself, battles coming from out. The enemy is like a roaring lion. And again, the message is watch and gird. Again, we start with the truth, the gospel, the truth which has set me free. The belt, which is the truth, which holds all the things, the righteousness. The truth is Jesus Christ, who has bought me. The message here is, I just need to defend. I don't battle. The battle list belongs to the Lord. It says again and again as you read, I stand. I stand with him. I stand in the truth. I stand in the righteousness. The truth, the word is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And he says the spirit is of the truth. And we stand with him. And the breastplate of righteousness. This righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was revealed on the day I know the truth, which was sealed by the spirit of the truth, the spirit of God. And the preparation of the gospel of peace. This rejoicing with the Lord we heard today will never come, and I can only rejoice and be steadfast in the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And having that peace in with me, with that heart, and above all, the faith is the shield. Without a shield, the fiery darts can hit us, right? It's a shield. It's a faith. We continue in the faith steadfast. We know in the early scriptures they continued steadfastly. And we continue generations and continue to share the gospel of peace. And the helmet of salvation. Paul said in Romans, renew your mind with the word of God. These days it's so easy to renew our mind with computer games, with TV things, the helmet of salvation. Many times Satan wants to doubt me. I don't know about you. He says, are you born again? Are you saved? Every time when I look back, the time I enjoyed with the Lord, his peace, I go back many times, the word of God, just a promise. The Lord said, believe in me, thou shalt be saved. Just a promise from the word of God. And just reading my own testimony at times, I've strengthened. And it's the word of God, brothers and sisters, and the fellowship and his spirit. We can always gain strength. The helmet of salvation, remembering that we are saved, we have righteousness. The Lord was ministering to me from this passage is, we always just stand and defend. And the battle belongs to the Lord. There's a verse in James that says, when you're tempted, resist the devil, commit to the Lord, and he shall flee. Resist the devil, commit to the Lord, and he shall flee. So that should be our first step. And may the Lord help us to watch anytime the Lord comes. The first watch, second watch, and run this race with faith. Paul said, I've run this race, I've kept my faith. All the Lord is asking me and you is, keep the faith. And don't give up. As that widow prayed, the thought was, she did not give up. The widow prayed until the end. We don't give up. And the Lord shall find faith. Shall he find faith when he comes? Yes, he will find faith. Shall he find people until the end? That Lord will continue his work until the end. And the finally, I'll finish with Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15 said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Praise God for the garment the Lord has given to me and you, the righteous garment. And may we watch as a child watch her father, opening the door immediately. And may our hearts be like that. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this precious word and precious promise, Lord, that you have. Lord, behold, I come quickly. And Lord, you're gone. Let your hearts not be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. Thank you, Father, for this great work you've done in each one of our lives. Thank you, Father, for this hope, which is an anchor to our soul. Father, help each one of us to hold fast and be steadfast in thy calling and walking worthy in thy calling, and continue to do thy work and watching and waiting to our Savior, and ask this blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.